Sazerin Bray and Harper Audio present Happily Ever Afters by Elise Bryant. Performed by Jordan Cobb. Chapter 1. The doorbell rings, and I ignore it. I'm right in the middle of writing an important scene. Tallulah and Thomas have found shelter from the rain thanks to a conveniently located abandoned cabin, and they're standing face to face, so close there's an electric charge between the tips of their noses. And when he reaches up to pluck an eyelash off her cheek and tells her to make a wish, it's clear from the urgency of her sigh and the longing in her dark brown eyes that the only thing she's wishing for is him. It's one of those swoony declaration of love moments, like something you see in those ancient movies they always play Sundays on TNT. But instead of that pale girl with the red hair, my protagonist has brown skin and a fro, and she's about to get her happily ever after. Except she's not, because the doorbell ringer is still at it. The only people who have come over in the week since we've moved south to Long Beach have been crabby Mrs. Hutchinson from next door and two Mormon missionaries in starched white shirts and skinny ties. I'm not going to stop the flow of words pouring out of me for them. The doorbell rings again, though, followed by a swift knock that's barely audible over Miles' television blaring from the back of the house. My brother, the traitor, is on his second viewing of his Dream Zone DVD, and the person outside can probably hear it too, a sure sign that someone is home. Enter the Dream Zone, the documentary detailing the roots and rise to stardom of the now very much defunct boy band, is the only reason we have a clunky player anymore, even though Mom went all Marie Kondo on the rest of the discs in the move. It's Miles' most precious possession. He treats the DVD and its accompanying booklet like some sort of sacred texts. I tell myself that if it rings one more time, I'll get up. If it's really important, more important than Mrs. Hutchinson's concerns about the jacaranda tree between our houses or, you know, saving our souls, whoever's out there will try at least once more. I cross my fingers and wait one moment, and then another. But there's nothing except the nasal crooning blasting from the other room. I'm in the clear. Thomas blows the eyelash away, but his lips stay open, cradling the words that Tallulah has been longing to hear. And just when he's about to reveal what's written in his heart, he's interrupted by a bubble. A white bubble pops up on the side of my draft in Google Docs, followed by a few more in quick succession. Why are you working on this one? Colette needs another chapter. Tessa Johnson, you promised. That kind of cliffhanger should be illegal. Don't make me report you. I know you're on here. I can see your cursor. Caroline's cheese face avatar accompanies each comment, a stark contrast to their stalkery vibe. And a few seconds later, my phone starts buzzing. So, I guess no one wants me to write today. At least, not what I want to write. Did you finish the chapter? She asks as soon as I answer, skipping any sort of greeting, as usual. I've known Caroline Tibayan since we were 6, the only two brown girls in Miss Brentwood's first grade class. When Jesse Fitzgerald told me I was ugly because I had skin the color of poo, Caroline hauled off and socked him in the nose. Lola, her grandmother, swatted her behind with one of her sandals when she got home that day, but Caroline still maintains that it was worth it. We've been best friends ever since. Monitoring my internet activity? Really? That's like something out of a Lifetime movie, I laugh. Also, hi. That's usually how people start a conversation. Okay, yeah, hi, but can you blame me? You left off on such a cliffhanger and then nothing.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?